Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Nobody uses more pens nor is more finicky about their pens than Jason Benetti. In fact, he still, from our first year together, he still accuses me of stealing one of his pens, which, I said, look, I'm not above stealing your pens. And if I can get away with it, I probably would have. However, that particular time, I did not steal it. So there was this, something that he has not let go of to this point. There's this one missing pen that remains somewhere in the ether, disappearing in the booth. Maybe there's a Bermuda triangle somewhere between us, but I never took the pen. But yeah, he's got lots of pens. He does a lot of different things on his scorebook.
Middays on the Score.
Jason Benetti has his pens. Stoney has his depends. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Yeah. Coach Nix and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Let's talk to our guy, Jason Benetti, shall we? He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, the play-by-play voice for White Sox television and so many other things. And, dude, what's with the beard?
I decided that if I wanted to be cheap Nick Offerman, I'd have to look a little bit more like a mountain man. I had some exposure because I did Bulls Nets, and then the Horizon League had a couple people who tested positive, and I was there. So I just stayed in for 2 weeks that just cleared recently, and I was like, what am I going to do, right? Why do I need not to have a beard?
It's there's some power to the beard. There's a connection between the mustache and the beard, which I am jealous of. I'm not a man that the mustache is ever going to go into the beard on. Is it sticking around? Is it television friendly? Is it something that's going to live with you for a while?
No. Actually, my face woke me up last night. It's kind of scratchy. Connor, are you in the basement? And does Dan know that you're in the basement?
I am. I've been lying the entire morning. I stayed in the basement. I had some food delivered overnight. Dan, we're pulling a parasite down here is what we're doing.
See, I would have seen you there because that's where the printer is where I can print out all my puzzles. And you know what? I have to admit, I can't make fun of you, Jason, when it comes to being a little bit finicky in particular about pens, because my kids know me is the same way, that there are certain pens for certain things at certain times, and I am equally particular about them. So I think you and I are cut from similar cloth in that regard. I'm with you.
Yeah, what happened was my green pen, which I use for walks, just flat out disappeared one day. Like, I didn't have it for the game. Walks were in a different color, and I was like, Stoney, look, I get that, like, I get you're a lovable scamp, this is like one thing, we just can't be doing this because it's a vocational hazard and I get tense and all this. And then, no joke, the next day I get to the booth and this green pen is just sitting on the counter alone. Like somebody had taken it for a day and then put it back. So to me, it's exactly what you would do if you were Steve Stone. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if he did it or not, but like somebody put the pen back and I don't know who it was.
Are you, pens or no pens, are you thinking about following suit with some play-by-play of mundane activities? We heard Joe Buck do some mundane play-by-play earlier in the show. We've seen some other guys get into that. You're a guy known for the the prolific nature of your broadcasts. You get into a whole lot of different stuff. What are you thinking about broadcasting next?
Honestly, I'm letting everybody do that. I've not been very active on Twitter at first because I kind of needed to process everything going on. And yesterday I started doing this thing where people send me letters to loved ones that they want me to read as videos. And to me, in an era where we're separated, that's kind of where I'm going to stay at this point, because I got some of the most beautiful notes of people wanting to say things to loved ones that they've never really said, that they wanted me to say for them by video. And it was actually extremely heartwarming.
When you think of opening day, what have your experiences been, either as a minor league broadcaster, a major league broadcaster? What opening day memories stand out for you, maybe even as a fan?
Yeah, I've not done many opening days with the Sox, because when Hawk was here, he was doing opening day. So I would jump in on day two. But the first Sox game I did in 2016, the Sox got me a suite and some friends of mine from around the country and my family and some people came in and watched the game. And if you recall, it was the game. There was a game where they closed the upper deck because of ice, and so like people were waiting outside, and it was pretty cold. And this is my first Sox game, and you know people are late to get into the stadium. And late in the game, Aubie Garcia hit a homer, and like Dan, you've known me for a long time. Like to me, when I show up to do a game, I'm ready for this. I know I can do this. Like, I knew I was ready to do this job. I'd done a lot of minor league games. I knew I was ready to do this job. But Aubie Garcia hit a homer in, like, the seventh inning of that game. And I don't really know why it happened, and I still don't. But I started to, like, tear up after I finished the call. And it was like, man, this is real. Like, I can't believe this is actually happening. And you go through broadcast journalism school, and you do a ton of minor league games, and you kind of separate yourself because you're not doing games of teams that you grew up watching when you're in the minors. And then you sit down, and you're like, I'm a pro. I'm ready for this. I can be a Sox fan, and I can also be the announcer, and I can separate the two. But I don't really want to separate the two. And then, like, your emotions take over. And to me, it wasn't an opening day, but it was my first game, and it was awesome. And the other part of that first game that was amazing and speaks to the almost odd level of detail that some friends of mine at the Sox and some friends of mine around the country do go through to make an experience great. A friend of mine from college, I lived with five people for my junior and senior years of college at Syracuse, and we had this running gag that a party is better if you have a pineapple at the party. And so we would have a house party, and we would go and buy a pineapple and just like put the pineapple on the banister at the bottom of the staircase. And so evidently a friend of mine from college called Scott Reifert at the Sox, who's got vice president in his title, and was like, right, can you go buy a pineapple for Jason without him knowing? And I was like, so I show up in the booth, my first ever Sox game, and there's a box for the headset with the cough button and talk back and like monitors and a freaking pineapple.
How did that start?
You know, I have no idea. I do not recall. We had all sorts of odd things we did in college, and some of them were just like a bright idea of somebody, and some were like a horrible idea of somebody. I don't remember how this one started, but like for an example, we used to when ESPN had Big Monday as a triple header, they had Mountain West games on at midnight, and it was either Dave Pasch and Jimmy Dykes or Bob Carpenter and Jimmy Dykes. And we had this passed down to us from some upperclassmen. We used to host Mountain West Monday, which is where we had like 20 people in the house to watch the Mountain West game that night. But everybody was assigned a team, and like if your team was playing that night, you had to get there early, and like if you showed up late, we literally locked the door at the under 16 timeout of the first half. Like it's a completely ridiculous, like somebody showed up late once, but they really wanted to get back in, and we had them write like a 10-page paper about the history of the Mountain West.
I love the dedication to the bit. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jason, have you given thought to what your emotions will be like when we resume baseball?
I think about that a lot, actually, and it's amazing because, you know, when you do it for a living or when, you know, I have friends who love sports and I have some friends who, like, I think it's natural to want to have friends who don't really understand sports because, like, for me, you want to be around people who don't want to talk about it 24/7, just as a balancer for life. And for me, over the last 14 days, like, I know sports creates some of my identity, and it creates a lot of my social life, just traveling for ESPN and White Sox stuff. But I didn't realize, I guess, how much I and we all would miss it and how necessary it is, just because, like, I would give anything right now to just high-five somebody, like a random drunk person over a double in the gap. Like, to me, that's the most amazing part of the day baseball comes back in full glory. Like, we may have empty stadiums for a time, or we may be playing somewhere else for a time. That's not based on insider knowledge. It's just conjecture that I've heard from a lot of people, and we've all heard it. But for me, the excitement of getting back to a ballpark is getting back to being able to the whole concept of not knowing your neighbor and being able to share this with them. Like, that's the thing that hurts about sports being gone, is the building of community that is missing from that. And I know that's somewhat cliched, but literally just like passing a beer down an aisle after somebody gives you a five and then like the change comes back, not that beers are $5 anymore, but that whole idea, like everything we did at a sporting event is everything we can't do now. So it's just going to be an opening of everybody's soul again.
Well, that's what we talked about at the start of the show, Jason, just talking about what not having baseball, this is the day on which we were supposed to have baseball, and how baseball in the background, it fills in some cracks for a lot of people. It fills things in where having it, whether it is following your own team or having the community, the conviviality of it, it just means we've got to be more creative and find other ways to do it, that we do have social media allowing us to do it. We mentioned during our Midday Midway segment of how some performers, how musicians are giving free concerts or giving concerts where they can help raise money for charity. I'm wondering how baseball players and what athletes in general can do if they can't sit down at a piano and entertain. There've got to be ways that so many of these athletes who are interesting in a lot of different ways can help people continue to connect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's even as simple as like talking about stories from the clubhouse or talking about like what makes teamwork so important and your crazy baseball stories from back in the day, whatever it is. Like, every minute of baseball season brings players near one another. Like, they are very rarely alone as well. Like, guys get to the clubhouse sometimes at like 1 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game or even before. So to me, it's just making, I mean, along with playing sports with your kids in the backyard or like just throwing bullpen. Like, I've seen people post bullpen sessions because that's some form of baseball. So I think what players, like, more players have hobbies than people think. And it's a matter of cultivating those, whether it's video games or, like, everybody's got, like, hidden talents. Like, I could envision a world where, like, MLB did a thing with a player every day, and it was, like, hidden talents, and we saw that somebody does a Rubik's Cube and somebody else plays the recorder, like whatever it is. These guys are interesting people. It's just a matter of unearthing what version of interesting they are.
Talking with Jason Benetti, White Sox play-by-play man here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score. Jason, we've gotten a couple of like hardcore. Well, I guess we got to separate, you know, White Sox questions from, you know, the what is happening with the baseball season questions. So aside from when are we going to start and what does it look like when we do start, the question I've heard the most as it regards the White Sox is what does this do to Michael Kopech and his availability when the season begins? I wonder your answer to that question and what question have you gotten most as it concerns the White Sox?
The question I got most in my direct messages when I wasn't posting on Twitter was, are you okay? which is very nice of people. So the question I've got, I don't really have a... I'm not getting a lot of White Sox questions right now simply because I think people's minds are kind of elsewhere. Also, I'm just not out, right? So, like, the access point to me for White Sox questions has not been terribly open. So the Kopech thing, I mean, I'm fascinated by how anybody rehabbing is keeping up with the daily progress, and I haven't learned what he's doing to make sure that he's keeping up. But, I mean, you can envision a scenario in which that a delay nominally helps the White Sox because of Rodon and Kopech. But, again, you got to build these guys up. And so just when we're starting to get even more literature about Tommy John surgery and what possible causes can be, et cetera, just as we're squaring that up, we have a period where we can't do any of the stuff that we normally do in large part, especially under the supervision of a team. So it's kind of Wild West. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? And I think anybody, it's tough for me to envision what that might look like just because we're so deep down a crisis scenario that all the normal plans that you would typically do punditry off of are wiped out.
The Score is doing its part to bring you a little bit of White Sox baseball tonight. Starting at 6 p.m., Joe Ostrowski and Chris Tannehill are going to host a live pregame show, and then there's going to be a replay of Mark Burley's perfect game, and then Joe and Chris are going to take calls as part of a White Sox postgame show once the final out is recorded. So if you're looking for something to do, that's tonight at 6 o'clock. Where were you when Mark Burley pitched the perfect game?
Where was I, actually? I mean, I was doing minor league baseball somewhere, and I think I was in Syracuse at the time. I think it was a home game. So the thing about it is, when you're doing minor league baseball and you're the PR representative, you kind of get separated from everything going on in major league baseball. And it wasn't like MLB TV was as prolific as it is now, even 10 years ago. So I think I was doing a game in Syracuse at the time, but you lose Major League Baseball a little bit when you're in the minors, truthfully.
I completely get that. I mean, yep. you look up at some point and you go, oh, look, they're in first place. I didn't know that they had won 55 games in a row or whatever. I mean, you miss big stuff when you're working minor league baseball in the big leagues because you're just so focused on things. I know, Jason, you mentioned that the everyday punditry of this sport and of many sports goes by the wayside. But much like, you know, the question I asked you about how you've thought about what your emotions will be like when baseball comes back, I wonder if you've given thought to your and your brethren's, you and your play-by-play brethren's openness to baseball looking different when it comes back. And I mean that in terms of a schedule. I mean that in terms of, you know, not necessarily playing your whatever's left of your 162, but the potential of Major League Baseball offering something completely different in order to get some games in and have some sort of championship ending to 2020.
You have to. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's advocated for a triples derby on White Sox telecast. So, like, I'm all for the bizarre, the strange. Like, let's make this work. Let's figure out a way that we can make this work. in the best way and the safest way possible. But if it takes doubleheaders, it takes doubleheaders. If it takes rearranging where you're playing games, it takes that. If, like, you can't just say, well, we're standing on ceremony and it's got to be this way, because if you do that, you're not going to have a season. Like, you can't have it the regular way when there's a crisis of this magnitude in terms of public health. And this is the perfect scenario in one regard creatively, because baseball might find solutions out of desperation that can inform the game in the future. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to try things that might be different, because you have to. I mean, you just have to. And to, for my brethren as announcers or whatever it might be, people covering the game, I think it completely changes. Like, if baseball woke up one day 4 months ago and said, you know what, 2020 in its regular form is going to be 162 games, but every Monday you're going to have off and every Tuesday is going to be a doubleheader, people would freak out. But in this scenario, whatever they come up with, as long as the players are okay with it and everybody agrees, people just want to see baseball. Like, the small, the nitpicky, that all goes away, and I think it should. And if people start writing columns like, well, this is baseball in an altered form and I don't stand for it, then sit down. Like, don't, right. Like, just enjoy what we have, and let's all get outside and watch a game in whatever form it's in.
Jason Benetti, here's to your continued good health. I'm sure you're checking in on Stoney as much as I am checking in on Uncle Terry to make sure they're hanging in there. So here's to baseball as soon as we can get it, and a happy enough opening day. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
hey,
Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.